If just thinking about your bills makes you feel confused and disorientated, like your head is full of raspberry jelly, then you need Monzo. Download your new favorite bank and pay bills from custom pots. Money never felt like Monzo. UK residents, T's and C's apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
One of my favorite kind of podcasts,
yeah,
because we just get to go at it, because like I love having guests on and stuff,
yeah,
but also I just like talking to you.
Oh, thanks. Me too.
So this is great.
Yeah,
but first off, I want to say thank you to everybody who bought the Hoot and a Half merch. I am not wearing it, but Mike is. And for the people listening, Mike, can you describe?
It's a super comfy gray crew neck sweater. This is one of a few pieces that we launched. We did a fun photo shoot. It was a lot of work to get the merch store up considering the circumstances, but thank you to everyone who purchased. We're going to be putting out more.
Yes, we're going to be putting out a lot more merch with cooler, different designs. This one is just the first edition, simple and true. It has the Hoot and a Half logo, and that's what we wanted to give you guys for the first run. But there's going to be a lot more cooler designs and stuff, and I'm really excited to see that going. But thank you to everybody who did buy some Hoot merch. We sold out.
Yeah.
And cheers to that.
Yeah, L'chaim.
L'chaim. When is Hanukkah?
I don't know. I can check.
You don't know?
I don't.
Mike doesn't know when Hanukkah is.
Because it changes every year. It's not the same every year because it's on the Hebrew calendar.
But does it change within a few days? Does it move over?
It's usually in December, some point in December.
Does it ever end in January?
The first night of Hanukkah is this week.
Have you bought a menorah?
I have. Oh, yeah.
You have like two menorahs.
I have like, I'm stacked with menorahs.
You have like the whole collection?
My mom sends me one every year.
A new menorah?
Yeah.
Is it like a cheap kind of like light up menorah?
So I have the light up one, which that one I'm just going to display in the window. They make really nice ones. I may buy a really nice one this year.
Now, is a really nice menorah usually made out of gold, silver,
sometimes,
glass?
Yeah. There's also like artistic ones, like your Christmas village. They're made out of like ceramic and they'll have like a scene on it. And it will be like a band playing and made out of ceramic, and then you can light the menorah around it.
A band?
Yeah.
Like a little miniature band?
Yeah.
Like a marching band, a quartet?
Like a klezmer band, which is a traditional Jewish music. They have a clarinet, a drummer.
Say that again?
Klezmer.
Klezmer.
Yeah, it's like traditional Jewish music.
So there's a clarinet.
There's a drummer, and usually one or two more instruments, like a sax player or a trumpet. It's great.
It's adorable.
Like, when you like think of like Jewish music, like that's kind of what it is.
Your new house is pretty sick, and I'm so happy you finally have now moved into a house. You were already living really close to us. You had a nice apartment,
which you helped me find.
Yes, I did.
Quick backstory for all the people to just, this is, I'm going to shower you with praise here for a second. I always wanted to move to LA, and after a couple years of debating, I finally did it. But I moved here without a place to stay. I didn't have a house. I didn't have an apartment. I had nothing. But you said you can stay with me, sleep on my couch until you find a place.
Yes.
While I was staying there, you drove me around for a full week to five or six different places, apartments, houses. And you were like, you don't want to live on this street. You do. Oh, Carly and Aaron used to live here. This is Zane's old place. So you kind of gave me the lay of the land.
Uh-huh.
And then the very last place we saw, when I was like, if this place isn't it, I don't know what I'm going to do because it's about to be the first of the month and I need to sign a lease. But thankfully, in this place turned out to be great. I remember taking a photo of you in my room, and I remember in my mind, like, okay, Matt King for scale. So I knew like how big of a bed I can get. And that was 2 years ago, and now I just moved into my first house by myself.
And it's great because you were already really close with your apartment that you were in, but now you're in the neighborhood.
Literally down the street. I'm on the hill.
On the hill.
I made it to the other side.
And your house is so cool. You have a swimming pool in your front yard.
Yep.
You have a swing.
Yes.
You got levels.
Yeah. I like that you know the Seinfeld reference. I'm very stoked to have moved into this nice place.
And I'm stoked for you.
Thanks.
Really happy for you. This is great.
Have you ever encountered or experienced anything ghostly?
Not really. No.
But you believe that it's out there?
Yes, yes. But I feel like every place I've lived has not been a place that
that's been
has,
haunted.
Yeah, no.
But I feel like a lot of Hollywood places are haunted. Like, I had someone I know stayed at the Roosevelt, and everybody that I said, oh, my friend's staying at the Roosevelt, everybody was like, oh, that's the haunted hotel.
That hotel and the Cecil Hotel. The Cecil Hotel is one of the most haunted ones in
LA. What
does
that mean?
That just some mysterious things have happened there. Like the murder of Elisa Lam. Are you familiar with this?
No.
I think the movie Darkwater is based on this.
Enlighten
basically
me.
What happened, I think this was late 2000s, 2007, 2008, a young grad student, correct, I may be wrong on some of these details, a grad student who was living in Los Angeles at the time, I think she was like a chemistry grad student, Elisa Lam, was seen on security camera footage, very late, late hours of the night or morning, seen in the elevator, making really weird hand movements, moving in and out of the elevator doorway, looking like she's talking to somebody, okay?
Okay.
And then next thing you know, she rides the elevator but leaves, goes missing a few weeks later. And sorry if this is a little gross for the people listening. People started noticing that the water was tasting a little bit funny. And then they go and investigate and look in the water tank at the top of the hotel, and her body was found dead. And the thing is people don't understand how this young girl could have gotten into the water tank by herself.
And then closed
because
it behind her?
Yes, there's like a latch. And I think by the time you fall into the water tank, there's no way you could shut the latch, but the latch was closed. So that means that she was murdered and that person was never found. Or there were reports that she had maybe some types of mental disorder. She was on medication and she did this to herself. But the thing, it just doesn't add up that somebody would like put themselves in a scenario where they put themselves in a water
and
tank.
And this is the Cecil Hotel?
The Cecil Hotel in downtown LA.
Have you ever been there?
We wanted to one time. Carly was really interested about this murder.
Okay.
Like, me and her would talk about it a lot. And then one day we were out driving around. This was right when her and Aaron had just moved out to LA. And we thought it would be funny. Let's go to downtown LA and let's go to the Cecil Hotel.
Okay.
And Carly was kind of like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, let's go for the ride. Let's do it. And then right when we got to the block of the hotel and we were pulling up to it and we were about to park, Carly had just this whole moment where she was just like, I cannot get out of this car. I do not want to go in there. I do not want to go. I wouldn't say she was having like a panic attack, but she was really, really uncomfortable about going into it. And I said, well, let's just go into the lobby. And she said, it was like, no, 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 no. So we all backed out.
So you didn't go?
No,
were you gonna
but
film
we were
a video
so close.
In there?
We were right across the street in the parking lot. Like, even paid the valet guy. I think we ended up walking to the last bookstore on Earth, which is a really cool bookstore.
Were you going
to
go film
LA.
Or just check it out?
Just check it out. Just to be in the
and
spot.
And she couldn't do it.
She couldn't handle it. Poor Carly. It was really, really funny, the idea. And then we all sensed out how stressed out Carly was with it. So we didn't. But I think I could stay in anything haunted, for sure.
You could stay in the Cecil?
Yes. I think I would draw the line staying in a haunted, abandoned, insane asylum or a hospital. That's where I'd get a little spooked. Well, like an abandoned building that's haunted and
yeah.
staying, no way. If something that's still active and in business and is haunted, sure.
Interesting.
I don't want to go into too many details, but I used to spend a lot of time in this house in LA that was notorious for having a lot of big parties with a lot of old famous celebrities at night. And a big thing you would hear is like you could hear like dinner parties or like people talking downstairs very late at night. And that makes sense. I feel like spirits would want to hang around places where they had really great times. And so like late at night, whenever I would like get up to go pee or whatever, you would think, are there people downstairs? Like who's talking? But it was very like hushed, murmuring chitter chatter. And you could hear forks and knives maybe like scraping on plates.
I've been to a house before too. It was an old Hollywood house in the hills. And they were trying to sell the house. And I was doing a tour of it. And they said that one of the things that you would hear at night in the basement is the remnants of a party.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting that like two different houses in Hollywood would hear like the same.
I bet a lot of places, like old houses that were popular of social groups in the past, you can hear it.
I watched this movie last night with Adam called The Impossible. Have you heard of it?
The movie about the tsunami.
Yeah. So we watched that. And then afterwards, he told me that there's this phenomenon that happened in that country after, and also in Japan after their tsunami, where taxi drivers will pick up a passenger, drive them to their destination, and then turn around to let them out, and there was no one in the cab.
I've heard about this.
And this is like a nationwide phenomenon. They now have college courses on it, and it's like this phenomenon of understanding why people are not only like seeing ghosts, but now actually like interacting with them and picking them up and dropping them off and then realizing that they're not really there. And it's like a form of trauma, I think.
And they didn't even pay the meter. Did they start the meter?
Probably.
And they're like, who's going to pay for this? I just drove 20 miles. That was a far trip and no one... What? That would drive me crazy. But I don't think that could happen with an Uber.
No.
Because like an Uber...
You have the app.
A verified app.
Yeah.
So
that was my first thought. I was like, put a camera in the car and like,
yeah,
you know, have a sensor of some sort. But
I bet if the camera was in the car, it wouldn't capture the person. You know?
I don't
so
know.
So the person would be like, hey, how are you doing today?
Right. And there would be no one there.
Can you imagine that? Be so spooky where you check the video camera and go, no, watch. Look.
Can you imagine if I went to go and turn off these cameras and then look back at the footage and you just weren't here? Like, that's what it's like.
Okay. Now, if that happened to you, would you... would your first process be like, okay, I got to tell someone.
I would go out to Todd and Natalie and say, is Matt in this house?
Now, what would you do with the footage? Would you post it? Or because that would make you look like a crazy person.
If I went and looked at these cameras footage and I'm just sitting here talking to myself, I don't know what I would do. I would definitely go out to there. And then I feel like if I went out into the living room, Todd and Natalie wouldn't be there. And I would probably, I would just snap. Like whatever is working in my brain would be done. I would not know how to handle that.
Would you go and see a doctor?
I feel like I would have lost grip with reality so much that I couldn't trust anything that I did. So I'd probably just do nothing.
You really would snap that fast.
Matt, if you walked out of here to go to the bathroom and then you walk back in and I'm not here and you're like, let me just see the footage real quick and you take a look and you're just talking to yourself. Like you watch the footage back of you having a conversation.
So I'd be like, I can't believe this happened. I'd probably call Zane, Todd, or I'd call you and I'd be like, look at what just happened.
What if I didn't answer?
Well, then I'd call up Sam.
Or what if I wasn't in your phone? That's what it's like. You go to Mike Sheffer in your phone and I'm just not there.
Then I would pull up the Hoot and a Half app and look at all the old episodes.
Okay, so you have a process.
I would have a process. I would have to try to find where the glitch is in the universe this disappearance.
I sometimes like to fantasize about that. Like if I woke up and I was 7 years old again.
If I woke up and I was 7 years old, I would be, boom! I'm buying some Apple stock, buying some Tesla stock, Amazon.
Yeah.
Maybe write some songs, drop some Chance the Rapper bars. I would just, I don't know. I would just mix it up. The only thing that would devastate me, though, if you could go back in time and you remembered everything that had happened, what would break my heart is like not knowing, will we be friends?
Right.
Not knowing if I would still be in love with Patricia. Like those types of things are devastating. And then how do you create this reality where then who knows, I become this millionaire by the time I'm 16 years old.
Right.
But I still want to find and navigate my life to find you guys
again.
But
we're all different.
And you're like, who the hell are you, dude?
Yeah, we're all different.
I'm just this multimillionaire kid goes, no, Mike Sheffer, we used to be friends, but I can't tell you that because I don't want to creep you out. But like your perception of me would change completely because
you'd be a different person.
Our friendship is based off the past and what we've created together. So that, I think that would also drive you insane. I never know if you did go back in time, could you handle it or would it drive you to insanity? Man, I'm in a weird mood today.
Yeah, this is a weird...
But I like these types of conversations. Yeah, no. I'm always worried, are people going to be like, is Matt just losing it right now?
No, I think this is super interesting. I like that.
This episode of Hoot and a Half is brought to you by the World Series of Poker app, which lets you play real-time poker with poker fans all across the world. You can hone in on your hold'em skills with cash games and tournaments. You can play in casino mode and go up against the house.
Or connect your Facebook account and play at a virtual table with friends.
It's as close to the real thing as you can get.
Without the $10,000 buy-in. I'm pretty good at poker.
I've been having some luck. I've had some wins. I've had some losses. But honestly, I've had a really great time playing it. Me and my friends from back home, we love playing poker whenever we do get a chance. And due to current circumstances, playing a game virtually through the World Series of Poker app has been a really great tool for social gaming.
It's free to download. It is the number one free online poker game and has tons of people online all the time, so you can always get in a game. Best of all, you get 1 million free trips when you sign up today.
Woo! 1 million free chips, Mike.
You heard me correct, Matt
King. That's a lot of chips. So what's the holdup? Download the World Series of Poker app today in the Apple App Store, Google Play, and on Amazon. And don't forget to use my code WSOPHOOT for 1 million bonus chips when you sign up today. Once again, that's 1 million bonus chips on the World Series of Poker app when you use my code WSOPHOOT. Susie is going to come over and we're doing a sauce challenge.
Oh, that's her like thing on YouTube now, right? She does like sauce reviews.
So we just review sauces?
I haven't watched the full episode, but I've seen the titles and the thumbnails, and I'm pretty sure she does like sauce taste testing with like Jeff and her friend. And
are we just dabbing a finger and tasting it, or we get to dip some chicken into
it? I'm sure
it?
You'll find out in due time.
I'm really excited. I hope it's not like spicy stuff. I want it to be like a bunch of ranches.
Can you tell the difference between ranches?
I think I can, yeah.
What's your favorite type of ranch?
Well, favorite type of ranch, probably Wingstop ranch. Like ranch at wing places are usually really, really good. But ranch that you buy in stores, it's very hard to find which is a good ranch. A lot of people always get Hidden Valley. And Hidden Valley that's a vegetable ranch. That's a ranch you have.
You dip many carrots in.
Yes.
Buttermilk ranches, I think, what you
don't
like.
Don't dip wings in Hidden Valley. And I think people think when they go to the store, oh, I need ranch, they buy Hidden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The best one, I think, is Ken's Steakhouse Buttermilk Ranch.
Buttermilk Ranch is the best ranch.
Yes. But isn't Hidden Valley a buttermilk ranch?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's not?
I think it's just like ranch.
But why does it have such this huge reputation where people buy it all the time? You don't go to a restaurant and they serve you Hidden Valley. You know?
It's a salad ranch. It's for salad.
But what?
Salad ranch?
But like treat yourself to something better in your house, not Hidden Valley. Hidden Valley is something you only have at your house.
But a lot of people like to just do what's familiar. It's the easy choice. You don't have to make the decision. The decision's made for you. I'm buying ranch. That's what I'm buying.
Okay.
To go seek out a new ranch. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But for you, it is broke. Let me ask you this. Three people are at a house. They're watching a movie. They order two pizzas. 10-inch pies, and they eat the pizzas. Is that considered a pizza party?
No.
Really?
No, there's only three people.
What defines a pizza party?
A pizza party is usually a reward because your class performed the best. A pizza party is a reward.
You can't have an impromptu pizza party?
It sounds like a good idea. I think more people need to have just regular pizza parties. I think a pizza party?
Yeah.
Sure. I guess if I had five people over and we ordered some pizzas, I'd quirkingly would say, hey, it's a pizza party. But to say...
You don't feel true blue that this is a real, legitimate, certifiable pizza
party. But I could see that in a math problem where it's like, Gerald is having a pizza party with his friends and he buys two pies.
Right.
How can you split it up?
Yeah.
There's no question about the pizza party.
Okay.
He's having a pizza party. I don't think enough people have pizza parties.
This morning he texted us and said, am I wrong in saying that we had a pizza party last night? And I've been thinking about it all day. Did we have a pizza party?
No.
I think we did.
No, you had three people and you had pizzas. That's not a pizza party. No, a pizza party is where the pizza... Did you have plates stacked up, cups, soda, where people pour the sodas into the red cups?
We had plates.
You have to have a pizza station.
We had it on the table.
Was there a line?
No.
Okay. a pizza party needs a line. You know, you ate pizzas with two of your friends. A pizza party.
But I feel like pizza is a food that if it is... If you have pizza, it is a pizza party.
Okay, but if you have hot dogs, it's just a cookout. You don't have a hot dog party.
No, but if you eat barbecue, then I would say you had a barbecue.
Okay, right. But that's a barbecue.
What I'm saying is I think that pizza has this quality.
Were you wearing hats?
No,
like,
it doesn't.
With the little elastic band?
No, but pizza has this magical trait that if there's more than... I think it has to be more than two people. You can't have a two-person pizza party. Two people is a date. Three is a party.
Okay, three is a... It's a close call.
Is that a pizza get-together?
Sure, quirkingly... Wait, is quirkingly a word?
We'll go with it.
You can jokingly say, hey, it's a pizza party. We're having three people over having pizza. Like, I would do something like that. It's a pizza party. You wouldn't go to your friend the next day and be like, yo, I had this great pizza party last night. They go,
so
well,
if you
who
were the prognosticator...
me, Adam, and his friend. What? That's not a pizza party. I would challenge you right there on the spot.
So if you were the prognosticator of pizza parties and I gave you the pizza pie stamp and I said, is this a pizza party certifiable? You would not stamp...
If you had me on a good day, of course I'd stamp it.
Oh, so it's not certifiable.
No, I don't know. I would be interested to hear what the people think about what qualifies a pizza party. I think you can have a pizza party in spirit, but then if we're talking a true traditional pizza party, if it's a birthday party and you're having pizza, that's still a birthday party.
You can have a birthday party that's also a pizza party. What'd you do for his birthday? We had a pizza party.
No, you had a birthday party and you got pizzas.
No, you had a pizza party.
It's like, hey guys, if we reach our sales for this month, our goal for sales, we're all having a pizza party. That's the way pizza parties have been ingrained, at least for me. It's a reward.
So pizza parties are Pavlovian for you.
Oh, wait, you're talking about like having a controlled stimuli and an unconditioned response?
You have a reward. You have a reward and conditional response. If you do this, then you get the reward. That's a Pavlovian response.
And if we remove the
stimulus...
The stimulus, then I just salivate when you say pizza party.
Yeah, exactly. And you had good pizza in Dallas?
I think so. We had Pizza Hut, I think, was really, really good in the 90s. And then something changed where it got a little too sweet. So I became more of a Domino's guy.
Interesting.
I always like Papa John's, though. I'm not going to lie. I like Papa John's. I don't support Papa John's.
You know what's interesting?
Business.
So your idea of pizza from a pizza party is from a chain.
Sure. What's wrong with that?
Well, being from New Jersey and like the New York area, those are not considered pizza. Those chains are like, that's like fast food. But if you have a pizza party, that means you're getting it from your local pizzeria, which is like John or Vinny's
Hold on. You're saying if you have a pizza party,
you're not getting it from a brand name pizza place. You have to get it from, you know, Federici's or an Italian place that actually makes pizza.
We had Joe's Pizza in our town that was like the best pizzeria.
There you go. When you have a pizza party, you would not order from there. You'd order from like a brand name.
I'd ask the crowd. I would. I'd have to ask around and go, what are we guys feeling?
Party.
You're focusing on the pizza. There's still the party
pizza
aspect.
Is magical. It is a magical food that elevates whatever room it's in into becoming a party. I rest my case. Your Honor, I rest my case.
Good point. The thing is, I could argue that both ways. I think, in my mind, I just want a little bit more of standards and requirements.
Does cake make a party?
Sure.
If someone serves cake, is it a party?
Yes, because there's plates being handed out and something's being cut and people have to wait their turn. You know what I mean?
So you're a very rule-based party aficionado. If there has to be rules in order for it to be a party.
Honestly, though, if you were hanging out with me and we got some pizzas, I'd call it a pizza party. But I wouldn't announce.
You wouldn't like post on Instagram story having a pizza party.
Actually, that sounds kind of funny.
Do you want to have a pizza party tonight?
That actually sounds kind of good.
That would be great.
I feel like I just had pizza.
It doesn't matter. You could have pizza every day of the week.
Okay.
Remember when the government, like a couple years ago, tried to decide?
No, I don't remember that. I'm kidding. What was crazy last night is I also noticed that the song in Elf is the same harmony as the Polar Express, Josh Groban, Believe.
Really?
Did you watch my Instagram story?
I did, but I didn't have the sound on.
Can I show you it?
Yeah. I already think I know what... I can already explain this phenomenon.
Well, Adam Melcher responded to it, and he says you're 100% right.
There's something called temp music. When you're making a film, before you pay the conductor to score your film, when you're doing the editing, you want some music to be in there to like help tell the story, whatever.
Okay.
So there's like royalty free cinematic music that a lot of directors and editors will put into their movies while they're in the editing process before they have the conductor come in and actually do it. But what happens is they get so attached to this temp music and everyone's using the same temp music, the same copyright free like temporary music, that they fall in love with it. And then when the composer comes in to do their composition, the director's like, I want it to sound like this. So a lot of movies sound the same because the directors are all using from the same library of copyright-free music when they're doing their editing.
Oh. So maybe that's the case with what happened here. Because I would always hear that sound on TikTok whenever there were these Christmas TikToks. And I always assumed to go, oh, that's the Polar Express. But when I would pull up that song by Josh Groban, it was so frustrating because he just sings on the entire thing. And I'm like, where's the instrumental version of this song? And then I realized the song I had been hearing on TikTok was the song from Elf. These things keep me up at night.
I'll send you the video. It's a really good... It's by that guy, Every Frame of Painting. Do you know that channel?
Yes. It's similar to like Captain Christian.
Yes, exactly. So yes. He talks about why all the Marvel movies sound very similar, and this is the phenomenon that he describes in that.
Whoa. Well, I have never watched The Avengers.
I've never seen any of that stuff.
I haven't watched Infinity War. I've never watched Endgame, and I know I should. I just... Superhero movies, I don't get that excited about. My dad always describes them as just like, oh, boom crash movies. Like, wow. Do you want to go see something where there's just a bunch of booms and crashes, but also a good storyline and really dynamic characters? But that I'm never in the mood for like hardcore action. You got an eyelash on the inside of your
the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, did you make a wish?
No, I don't. What?
They always say like if your eyelash falls out, you should make a wish and blow it.
We talked about recently that you're not superstitious, but you're a little stitious. What are you a little stitious about?
Oh, I guess like knock on wood, knock on glass. I'm kind of like superstitious about that. If I say like, oh, I hope that doesn't happen, or I really want this to happen, I'll knock on wood or knock on glass.
Knock on glass is one?
Knock on glass saves your ass. Someone told me that when I was in the seventh grade, and it stuck with me ever since.
So you will...
I'm also... No, the one always... This is my number one superstitious thing that I do probably every day.
Okay.
Whenever I am driving and I go underneath a yellow light, I touch the roof. I touch the roof.
And why?
It's so funny because now Patricia has picked up on it, and she always knows when I'm going to do it.
So you like when you go through a yellow light, you go like...
Right when you go under the yellow light, you hit the roof.
Why?
Because this girl, Kayla Owens, showed my friend Christina Ducey it, and then Christina Ducey would always do it when she drove me around, and she was like an upperclassman, so I didn't have a license yet, but by the time I finally could drive a car, I'd always do it because Christina did it.
Backhand or front hand?
The girls would always do it that way, but now I'm so lazy, I just throw my whole hand up to
And what's the purpose of this?
Just like good luck, knock on wood, you know, just... I don't know. It's just like it's out of habit. Also, anytime I get on a plane, I touch the outside of the plane.
Really?
I touch the body of the plane.
I've never touched a plane before.
You really? I do it every time I get on a plane. Because I love touching it, because knowing it's like that is going to be like flying in the air. You know what I mean? It's this weird...
That kind of trips me out. I feel like I like the separation, like not knowing that that's an actual just piece of metal that's going to take us through the air.
It's a metal that's flying through the sky and experiences crazy temperatures and climates. And so I always touch it. I used to always...
That makes it real.
Yes, I know. Funny because only one other time have I been getting onto a plane and I saw a guy tap it. Like, and I was like, he does what I do. And I kind of made that up on my own.
Wow.
I've done it all the time since I was a kid. I did it for like 5 years. I used to always read the safety pamphlet when you get to your seat. Just not like, I don't read it word for word. I just like soak it in because I just feel like if I know, I don't know, if I look at it,
I'm the opposite. I don't want to read it because I feel like then you're like putting it in the universe that I'm going to need to know this. So if I just never look at it, I'm never going to need to know it and it's never going to happen.
Okay. That's good. That's a good way to look at it. I've dropped though the looking at the safety pamphlet. I don't do that anymore.
But you still, I touch it. Is it a one tap or a two tap? What's the method here?
Usually if you're kind of like waiting in line, like slowly getting onto it, I kind of like hold it until I enter. So, but if there's enough space, I give it just a good tap and walk on in. And I sometimes always the flight attendants will like give me this look where they're like, okay. I think one time a flight attendant looked at me and was like, did he put something on there? Like, did I like slap a sticker
like,
on there
me
like,
or something?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are the only two I actively do. Am I crazy about it? Like, will I lose sleep knowing I didn't do it? No. But
do you make a wish when it's 11:11?
Yes. Yes.
Do you not cross the path of a black cat?
I had a black cat growing up. So if I see a black cat, I'm going to probably go up to it.
Do you avoid walking under ladders?
Well, I don't think I've ever walked under a ladder. I'm so tall.
If there's a ladder propped up against the side of a building, are you going to walk around it or walk under it?
I'll walk around it. Because me walking under it, I know my shoe's going to probably hit it and it's going to fall. I don't.
Yeah, you're a big dude. So yeah. The world is not really made for someone your size.
Yeah, no.
You're always like a little too bumping into stuff.
Yes. This episode of Hoot and a Half is brought to you by Drop. Drop is a free rewards app that's available on iOS and Android, and it's leveling up the lives of 3 million people every single day. So, how does Drop work? Well, you download the app, you create an account, and then you add a debit or credit card to the app to maximize your earnings on exclusive offers and receive personalized recommendations. You can shop on the app with the over 400 brands they already have. You can play a game or take a survey.
Brands pay Drop a commission for sending you their way, and Drop shares the commission with you through the rewards points that you receive after completing the offers in the app.
So, if you're doing any holiday shopping this week, make sure you check out the Drop app before you shop.
Drop is the easiest to use rewards app that gives you points back for shopping at all your favorite places.
All of those brands which I like to buy from, I'm able to earn reward points through Drop. And so what can you do with those points?
The points you earn turn into a free gift card so you can redeem them at your favorite places like Starbucks,
Amazon,
Sephora,
Chipotle,
and so many more.
Is this on?
Yeah. So whenever I'm thinking about making a purchase, I pull up the Drop app and head to the shop page to search for the brand that I'm looking to spend with. And you'll be connected to the retailer's site or mobile app.
Once there, you complete the checkout process like you normally would. And Drop will automatically add the points into your account once the transaction clears.
It's really that simple.
It is.
Tap, shop,
earn, redeem. I always order through Uber Eats. So when I use the Drop app, I always make sure I earn points back for every $1 I spend each and every time I make an order. And I use this offer at least 3 times a month, so I just rack up those points, baby. So pretty much, if you're not a Drop member, you're missing out on free money.
For a limited time, Drop is giving all of our listeners 10,000 points when you sign up via the App Store or Google Play with the code HOOT. Your bonus will be deposited once you reach your first 1,000 points in the app.
Once again, that's code HOOT, H-O-O-T, to kickstart earning on Drop today. Well, so I have Guttate psoriasis for the people listening. And Guttate psoriasis is an autoimmune condition where your body overreacts to fighting something that's basically already gone. So what triggers my Guttate psoriasis is strep throat. So if I get strep throat 2 weeks after the strep throat has long and gone, my body starts reacting and it breaks out in Guttate psoriasis. So, and that can consume my body for months.
Holy moly.
Yeah. But I haven't. It's only happened to me 3 times in my entire life.
I remember the most recent one. That was a saga.
It was terrible.
Who did you get strep throat from?
It was after Coachella. So somebody at Coachella, I got the strep throat from. So I had a sore throat. And then 2 weeks after, it just consumed me. So that's why I'm always like very paranoid about like sharing drinks and stuff.
What
with
a
people.
Great time Coachella was.
It was.
That
I
was so
it.
Much fun. It was my first one. The last one that we went to.
It was.
We stayed in that room, which wasn't a room. We stayed like on a balcony.
We stayed in a loft.
It didn't have a door.
It's a loft.
Is that what a loft is?
Yes. A loft is usually an area in your house where it's not someone can make a bedroom in a loft, but it's usually exposed the top down to the bottom, where you could talk to somebody from the top of the loft.
What's some good relationship advice that Matt King can give?
One of the best pieces of relationship advice I got or I read or I heard was from Billy Crystal, who has had a very long, long, loving relationship with his wife for many, many years. And he was asked that question. And he said, the best relationship advice I can give for a successful, long-lasting relationship is always giving the person the benefit of the doubt. You know, when you're in a relationship, neither of you are perfect human beings. And there are going to be times where one person or both are being idiots. And knowing, and they're going to drop the ball and they're going to disappoint you. But knowing you're given the benefit of the doubt where it's like, hey, I know you messed up doing this, but I still love you. You know,
yeah.
I think a lot of times when one person messes up and upsets the other one, they'll get so mad and stubborn and caught in their ways because they're not fitting the mold of how they want them to be. But when you give that, always giving them the benefit of the doubt, you can express why you're upset, try to correct it and everything, but assure that like,
assume the best, don't assume the worst.
Yes. That is like, I think very, very a healthy way of maintaining good, long lasting.
Okay, so that's the best piece of advice that you've received, read, consumed. What's a piece of advice that you've come to learn through your own experience?
I would say I guess one, enjoy the little things too, or try to like always find new things that you love about the other person. Like I actually even have like a notes thing that like I write down of just something that I really like about.
Like as you experience something, you're like, oh, I really like that about her.
Yeah. Like I love how she like starts cracking her nails when she's watching sports and stuff and gets really excited about that.
Oh, interesting. You know? Yeah.
And so anytime, I don't know, if you're ever feeling, I don't know, down, sad, or frustrated, you just retreat to that list of just all the little things you like about them. And it makes you see them like in a new light every time. It's like constantly falling in love with new things about them, you know? Because I think as you grow and get old, you get so and so familiar with the person. But you forget that you can still constantly fall in love with new little things about them every day.
That's a great way to wire your brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of science behind that too, about just like reprogramming your brain to be thankful and grateful for things and seeing opportunities versus seeing like negativity. So like a quote that I always think about is, you don't see the world as it is, you see the world as you are. Meaning the world is neutral, right? There's good and bad in the world, but the way that you are you a positive person? If so, then the world is a positive place. Are you an optimistic person?
What you think is what you are, and what you are becomes your reality.
Yeah.
So, and I hold that so true to heart. I've been saying that so much since I was like in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also like, I think about watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions, and watch your actions because they become who you are.
Damn. Truly. That's like basically like the whole baseline of the law of attraction. Do you believe in that stuff?
I don't know if I believe it, but I take Pascal's wager on that, which is it's better to believe it than not believe it. Like the chance of it being wrong and the chance of it being right, I'd rather believe it than not believe it. So like it may never be proven, and it probably will never be proven. That kind of is what makes life interesting, is that we'll never know. But operating with that mentality, like I'm here, I'm in LA, I wanted to do this, I have a house now, like I have a house.
And you attracted that. You thought of that and you made it happen.
I think the biggest thing with that is time and other people's perception of time. You need to just say like, screw that. Like, I don't care what anyone else thinks about time-wise. Like, because there are friends of mine who got married 7 years ago, but they're still going to be in like an apartment and they live in the same town that they grew up. And that's fine. But like, I was always holding out for something better, and now I have it. And I feel like I'm so happy that I held out, even though a lot of people around me are like, when are you going to settle down? Or like, when are you going to get a real job? Or like any of that stuff. And it's like,
that's how you perceive your own time.
I
and
just
how
believe
you
that the wait will be worth it.
Yeah. You're holding your cards and you're playing them right.
I hope so.
Yeah, you are.
I hope.
You hope. You should get a girlfriend though.
I would like to. I think that's the next thing. But like, that's my other thing, is like, I don't want to get someone else to be a part of my life until I have my life figured out in a way that I'm comfortable enough to be like, okay, now I can let someone else in.
Right. But I think you can also just learn a lot from it. Like, you should have.
But I learn from everybody.
Yeah, I know. But it's a whole different ballgame when you're in a relationship. It's a really crazy experience, but in a good way.
No,
where
I know.
It really
I know.
Grows you.
Yeah.
That's my only concern for you, but I'm not like digging into you. My biggest concern for you is like, because you haven't like been like in a real consistent long-term relationship, that once you do get into one, I just wish you had like a toolbox already prepared. Like me having already been in one and being in a new one,
right?
I feel in a much better headspace than I did before. And it is still scary when you do get into your first thing. You have kind of nothing to reference from personal experience.
Right.
Which is scary. But I think you have a good head on your shoulders. You know your boundaries and stuff.
Yeah.
But there are going to be moments where it will test you, and it will continue to test you.
Like, the experience of not having had a serious relationship means that my first one, there are things that I could have known going into it that I can only have learned from having one previously.
Right. I mean, and Patricia has dated like a few guys in the past, but they weren't like kind of big time relationships. But sometimes I always think ahead where I'm going, I know how this works.
Yeah.
So we got to switch this up, because I think this is kind of your first time, but this isn't my first rodeo.
Interesting.
But I'm not doing that in a way I know more.
I totally understand.
It's this wavelength thing.
It's like being in a band.
Yeah.
Like,
you had experience with another band. You know what you want to do different the next time. So, and I just don't want you to get your heart broken. But the thing is like, sometimes heartbreaks are really good. It took me forever to realize heartbreak was actually good for me.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah. I'm very confident that it'll work out, because that's kind of been my another, this is my own thing. Everything always works out.
Yeah. It's like Game of Thrones. Like, you were exactly where you needed to be.
Is that a Game of Thrones thing?
It's something like that. That was one of the final lines of the last episode.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely right that there's probably some road bumps that I'm going to hit. I don't really segment out relationships with like boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend, family member, business partner. Like, relationships are relationships. Each one, just navigate it the best possible way you can. Sure, there's like different things in each one, but like, they're all relationships. So I think that I've had a pretty good track record of relationships in general, but I have to imagine that there's some additional element to a significant other that doesn't exist in any other of these relationships, and that's going to be the rude awakening that I'm in for.
I think you should just allow yourself to like make some mistakes with the relationship thing, though. Like, actually try
to... That's a deep cut.
Go and make the mistakes. Like, just dare to fail about the relationship. It's not your career. It's not, you know, anything that's going to determine it, but just give someone a shot for like 3 months. But like, you know, keep your guard up. Think that this could be temporary. If you're dating someone just like, oh, I just want to see if I like being in a relationship. That's not the way to go.
I never want to do that.
You like someone and you want to figure out if they are going to be a good partner with you.
Right.
You know?
But you said keep your guard up.
Keep your guard up. Keep your wits about you.
I don't have that. I don't have a guard.
Because you think what? You're going to fall so deeply in love with them where you're going to be proposing by like month three?
I don't know. But like, I don't have a guard with any other relationships. Every relationship I have, all the cards are on the table from day one.
You don't want to be like then finally 35 or 30 and then you're like, you look back and be like, oh, I kind of wish I did like had a girlfriend during that time to like share those times with.
There is definitely an element of that, but at the same time, it's the same philosophy of like, Mike's moving to LA when he's 27. Like, why is he, what? That's a little like that. Everyone else has an expectation of time that doesn't align with mine. And I'm just very confident that what I'm going to do is going to work out. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, at least I didn't, like, your point is take action.
Just be a little foolish.
Yeah.
And keep your wits about you.
Right. Because
you'll learn from it and will make you wiser. Sitting there, twiddling your thumbs, saying coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah.
It will only get you so far. The experiences are what makes you wiser.
This is good.
I know. It's funny talking like this, though.
You're not going to figure it out like, sitting in your room.
I don't think, like, I just want, like, I don't, like, take myself, like, too seriously when I'm, like, talking all, like, life and stuff. It may be interesting for the people listening. I hope you do find it, but I forgot the people are listening.
I'm just talking to you because I like your input on this.
But it is so weird, like, talking, like, so deep and open about this stuff because I don't or haven't like usually done it. So it is nice, but
yeah, no, I think by no means am I
like some guru where I think I know it all. I'm just sharing from my own experience. Well, damn, that was a good talk.
This is fun. It's like therapy almost.
It really is. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, comment on what you feel like qualifies
as a pizza party.
As a pizza party. Right. Great. Fantastic. Thank you guys so much. Have a great week.
See you in the next one.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.